540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. Supreme Court pushes back on an effort by Republicans to give state legislatures sole power over election matters. CBS's Major Garrett says it's a 6-3 ruling in a North Carolina case where the state's top court was challenged for overturning a voting map.
It basically said all of our understandings about state legislative power are true. They are monitored by the state Supreme Court. And the federal courts can intervene if there is something egregious. But all of our common understandings about state legislative power remain where they are.
According to a new congressional report, the warning signs for trouble were all around just before the 2021 attack at the U.S. Capitol. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A Senate Homeland Security Committee investigation says the FBI received alarming and prescient warnings before January 6th about a storming of the Capitol, violence from the Proud Boys, and guns being staged near the Capitol in Virginia. But the committee says the FBI slow-walked and downplayed those warnings and that Homeland Security intelligence analysts didn't properly share their intelligence.
A Justice Department watchdog report says negligence and misconduct by federal jail guards led to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's death in 2019 in a New York cell. Criminal charges have now been filed in a fatal shooting involving neighbors. CBS's Jim Crisula.
A white woman accused of firing through her door and fatally shooting a black mother in front of her 9-year-old son in Central Florida has been formally charged with manslaughter and assault. 58-year-old Susan Lawrence was arrested earlier this month following the fatal shooting of A.J. Owens in Ocala, Florida.
The high heat now expands from Kansas City to the Florida Panhandle. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen says Texas is still the real hot spot.
You are now under this dome, so to speak, of extreme heat where temperatures climb above the 90s and into the triple digit readings over 100 degrees and in fact could start approaching or rival the record of 120 degrees, which is the all-time state record for Texas.
Instagram and Facebook have just added new parental supervision tools and privacy features. The changes come as social media companies face more scrutiny over how they impact the mental health of young people. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
The new tools, which are tied to the Messenger app, will allow parents to be able to tell what their teens' privacy and safety settings are and changes to them, including who they add in a contact list, how much time they're spending in the app.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 148 points, NASDAQ's up 132. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution. Attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is the Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air quality in Wisconsin is bad again today, maybe the worst ever. People in Milwaukee are reportedly breathing the second most unhealthy air in the world right now. The smoke from Canadian wildfires is so heavy it even smells like a campfire outside. Eastern Wisconsin is under an air quality advisory, which means older adults, young children, and people with heart or lung conditions should probably just stay inside. Hundreds of wildfires are burning in Canada. They've burned 18 million acres of forest so far. The Wisconsin Elections Commission might choose a new person to run the agency before the end of the day, Pete Schwabe reports.
Commissioners are set to consider appointing an interim leader and the administrator for the next 4-year term. The commission plans to send the appointment to the state Senate for confirmation within a week. Some Republicans criticize Megan Wolf's performance during the 2020 election, but her peers around the country say she's one of the best at her job. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Milwaukee is getting closer to a badly needed infusion of cash. The Milwaukee Common Council's Steering and Rules Committee is backing a 2% sales tax, which would bring in almost $194 million in new revenue. The city needs the money to avoid deep cuts in services in 2025. The opportunity to vote on a new local sales tax was created by the state legislature and Governor Evers as part of the shared revenue deal. The full Common Council is expected to vote on the tax on July 11th. 10 of the 15 council members would have to vote for it in order to pass. More pedestrians are dying on Wisconsin streets and roads. As Melissa Kay reports, experts blame reckless driving, crumbling roads, and bigger, heavier vehicles.
According to a report from the Governor's Highway Safety Association, pedestrian deaths rose 50% from 2021 to 2022 in Wisconsin, with 75 pedestrians killed in traffic crashes last year. One of the top safety officials with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation called the steep increase in pedestrian fatalities alarming. David Pabst, the Director of Transportation Safety at the state DOT, also said reckless driving is not something just happening in big cities, but around the entire state and country. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Well, drivers and pedestrians better be especially careful in the days to come. AAA says expecting record traffic in Wisconsin between now and the 4th of July. More than a million people in Wisconsin are expected to drive 50 miles from home or more between Friday and Tuesday. Across the country, more than 50 million Americans are expected to leave home for the holiday, and 85% of them will hop in their cars. A Hollywood executive who grew up in Milwaukee is pushing to have more films made in Wisconsin. John Ridley is talking to policymakers and business owners about better tax incentives to bring more movie making here.
This is not a lefty liberal issue. This is not a conservative business issue. This is a jobs issue.
Ridley was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. He says he hopes to have a bill passed in 3 years. Wisconsin scientists say they're gaining a better understanding of how chronic wasting disease spreads among elk and deer. More from Eric Galatas.
Stuart Lichtenberg, co-author of a new University of Wisconsin at Madison-led report, says the team wanted to find out if deer ticks that were found on white-tailed deer killed by hunters carried prions, the misfolded proteins that spread the disease.
We were actually able to detect what we call transmission-relevant doses of CWD prions. That is to say that there's enough prions present in those ticks that it could cause disease in an animal that's susceptible to CWD.
Lichtenberg warned scientists still do not completely understand how CWD spreads, but this new research shows potential options for mitigating transmission if...
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. The smoke and the smell will be in Waukesha and Milwaukee for at least another day.
We're expecting the smoke to linger today and hopefully starts pushing out tonight, but it could still linger in the western part of the state as we go into the overnight hours and into tomorrow.
Meteorologist J.J. Wood with the National Weather Service says our area is heavily impacted and that, again, people should stay indoors. A nature trail will once again take a backseat to the state fair. The DNR says in a statement the Hank Aaron State Trail will be closed between South 76th Street and South 84th to prioritize safety as it passes directly over State Fair Park. The closure aims to maintain a secure perimeter to the fair. The State Fair runs August 3rd through the 13th. The 15-year-old suspect involved in the shooting incident following Milwaukee's Juneteenth celebration, who was already on probation for gun charges and wearing an ankle monitor, is now facing 10 charges, including 4 counts of first-degree recklessly endangering safety. The shooting happened after an altercation between 2 groups near MLK Drive and Chambers Street, resulting in the shooting of 6 teenagers. Milwaukee's sales tax increase is gaining momentum as a Common Council committee approved a measure to raise the city's sales tax by 2%. That was after a public hearing yesterday. The proposal will now move forward for consideration by the Common Council on July 11th. Walking around Brady Street in Milwaukee could soon be a little safer. Jimmy Koska has more.
The Brady Street Business Improvement District has introduced 4 alternatives to improve the pedestrian experience on East Brady Street, which involve potentially converting 4 blocks into car-free areas. The options, which encompass improved intersections and dedicated pedestrian spaces, aim to enhance safety in response to a tragic hit-and-run incident. The district is actively seeking input from residents and businesses to finalize the design.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. An air quality alert is covering the state. Milwaukee has hit uncharted territory. In fact, the city's air quality is the second worst in the entire world, reaching a very unhealthy level, purple zone. The 6 colored categories range from 0 to 500, and Milwaukee is at a 248. The Canadian wildfire smoke is blanketing the entire state, with unhealthy levels widespread. A large portion of Wisconsin, including Madison and Green Bay, have an AQI in the 150 to 200 range. Visibility is down to 1 to 4 miles as this haze fills the air. Even healthy people are experiencing issues. Limit your time outdoors as the air quality alert is in effect until Thursday afternoon. This plume has been brought down to Wisconsin from the winds, gusting up to 25 miles per hour out of the north. As they begin to calm this afternoon, it may shift the smoke back north and westward. Have a terrific Tuesday and breathe easy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers with a win over the Mets. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers faced the Mets' Justin Verlander and managed to pull out the win 2-1 at Citi Field in Queens last night. Joey Weimer managed to get a two-run homer in the sixth after Verlander was replaced by Drew Smith.
And then Weimer pumped, and he looked track back at the wall, and it's out of here.
Joey Weimer on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Yeah, two-strike count, two outs, not trying to do too much. Just got a good pitch to hit and put a good swing on it.
The Mets' Drew Smith, back from a 10-game suspension after using a sticky substance in a game, was asked did he do anything differently on the mound.
No. I mean, I used maybe a little less rosin today. It was humid out there. But no, everything else, same routine. I mean, the pitch before he swung through, I was trying to kind of throw the same pitch just a little higher, and I yanked it down a little bit, and obviously not a good spot with two strikes, 2-2 count. Just got to execute better, and I felt pretty good for having 12 days off.
The Brewers' Colin Ray got the win, allowing just one run on three hits through 6 1/3, his longest start of the season. The 40-year-old Verlander didn't get any run support from the Mets batters.
I don't think anybody saw this coming, man. Disappointing. It's disappointing for everybody in this room. I know it's disappointing for the fans. Just keep trying. You know, if there's one thing that I know the guys in this room are doing is trying our ass off. You know, every day we come to the park, myself, it's trying to get better and figure out what's off. And I know that most of the guys in this room are the same way. And you know, hopefully it clicks for everybody. But we gotta get going soon.
Brewers closer Devin Williams got the save. The Reds lost 10-3 after a rain delay in Baltimore. That put Milwaukee back on top by half a game in the NL Central. Game 2 of the 4-game series is tonight at 6:10 in New York. Milwaukee's Julio Teheran against the Mets lefty David Peterson. College baseball, after losing 24-4 to the Florida Gators over the weekend, the LSU Tigers came back last night to win 18-4 and clinch the men's college baseball World Series. It's the seventh time in LSU history to win the national title. NFL, after 16 years in Green Bay, Mason Crosby is a free agent. The Packers drafting place kicker Anders Carlson out of Auburn.
Well, yeah, obviously, Packers, drafted Anders there in the sixth round, and they've been open in the media, at least, that doors never closed on a guy like myself. But as of right now, I'm training. I'm preparing for training camp, so I'll be ready to roll when someone gives me a shout.
Crosby on ESPN Wisconsin. The New York Jets could be the team that ends up on HBO's Hard Knocks this summer. Head coach Robert Saleh.
I haven't gotten word or anything like that. I know there's several teams that would love for Hard Knocks to be in their building. We're just not one of them. So.
That's Jets head coach Robert Saleh. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 79. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows level off around 55. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Upper 80s Thursday, mid-80s by Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined as always by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Will. I wish that the haze over the state of Wisconsin was not as bad as it is. I want to get some work done outside, and Wisconsin DNR is saying limit that time outdoors today with the air quality advisory that is out through this time 2 days from now. We got this for at least 48 more hours, unless it gets extended even further than that. But glad to be with you here on the airwaves, Will, on this Tuesday afternoon.
Well, I always stay away from the outside, Luke, so that's not going to be a problem. I don't do so well with the sun. We kind of discussed that post my trip last week, that West Coast sun, it just hits a little bit different. We're also joined today by Aaron on the board and Matthew Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Gentlemen, how are you doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Hey, Will, thanks for having me on. It's always nice to be with you.
I'm doing well, but I am also, like Luke, disappointed that I can't really safely do any work outside today. The couch that I have is the worst couch I've ever seen and sat on. And so we were going to bring it out to the curb because donating it or giving it to somebody would be a crime. But it's also pretty heavy, so we're not going to do that today. Breathing heavily, all this smoke, no thanks.
Good call, Aaron.
I heard Jack Smith was looking into Aaron trying to give away that couch that was potentially going to be
those are just
committing
rumors.
Crimes against humanity.
Baseless accusation. Don't listen to the recording.
Jeez. Folks, well, if you want to join in on Town Call, 844-967-2789. If you've got any questions for Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, now's the time to share them. We got Matt. Want to thank you, Matt, for all the contributions that you've had to Civic Media, Dueling Tangents, and Town Call. You're gonna be retiring at the end of this week, so this is one of the final appearances we're going to have you in this official capacity. And the next time we'll have you on the show, it's going to be for, you know, poker tips and bird watching updates.
Yeah, I'm retiring on Friday at noon. I turn into a pumpkin. So, you know, it's been a good ride. It's been 43 years doing this work in the progressive pro-democracy nonprofit sector. I've enjoyed it quite a lot. I've really enjoyed the last 8.5 years at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. I've loved coming on Civic Media and all the shows you all are doing. And I've loved working with all the great activists in the progressive nonprofit sector, pro-democracy nonprofit sector that we have here in Wisconsin. It's one of the bright lights for Wisconsin, I think.
So, folks, this is one of the last opportunities. We got an open phone line, 844-967-2789. If you've got a question for Matt Rothschild in any vein of democracy, good governance, anything like that, 844-967-2789. Well, yeah, we'll save those because then we can invite him back. We've got an excuse for the poker
True.
Tips later. So we'll reserve that for a later edition of Town Call. But Matt, the Wisconsin Elections Commission meeting today to take up or possibly table. We don't know what the meeting is going to all entail yet, but the topic of conversation is whether or not to reappoint the current administrator for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, Megan Wolf, to another 4-year term. Her term also set to expire on Friday. I don't know if it's a noon deadline for her, but the conversation now before the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners is whether or not to reappoint Megan Wolf to the 4-year term. Your thoughts on the process and the conversations that have been going around this appointment?
You know, Megan Wolf has been a tremendous public servant here in Wisconsin. She's been shamelessly scapegoated by Republicans and election deniers. She has simply been carrying out the work of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. She doesn't make policy for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's the six commissioners there that make the policy, and she executes that policy. And she's done an admirable job in doing that. She is well respected nationally. She heads up a group of election administrators nationally. They admire the work that she has done, as I do. And so this idea that she's been so vilified, and sometimes vilified in a sexist manner by Michael Gableman, for instance, is just been kind of grotesque to watch, frankly. And I hope that the Wisconsin Elections Commission will vote to reappoint her this afternoon. And I hope that the Senate will approve her. And if they don't approve her, I hope they at least don't even take a vote on her and let her stay on through the election in 2024 so we have some continuity. It would be hard to get someone, I think impossible to get someone as qualified as she is, but it'll be hard to get anyone who's just, you know, adequately qualified to carry on that job, you know, to come on real fast here within, you know, a year and just a couple of months before the next big election and get up and running and up to speed. That's tough. That's a tough thing to do. And she's done this job real well. Why get rid of her right now before a big election? That makes no sense.
Oh, I got a note, too, Matt. You touched on how respected she is nationally. She has served as the president of a number of nationally recognized election organizations, including the National Association of State Election Directors and the Electronic Registration Information Center. This is not some, you know, small time state individual that just was picked out of a hat, as you noted. This is someone that has widespread recognition as someone who is really, really good at her job.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a nationally recognized leader in election administration. I'm sure she could get a job in many different states heading up their election administration. She's chosen to stay here in Wisconsin despite all the calumny that's been falling upon her shoulders over the last couple of years. And so my hat's off for her for enduring that crap and still doing her job and clearing up a lot of falsehoods and lies that are coming from the Trump camp about what happens in our elections. You know, she's well respected by people like Kathy Bernier, the former state Republican senator, who is a former clerk herself, who admires the work that Kathy Bernier that she has done at the Wisconsin Elections Administration, Megan Wolf. And so Megan Wolf deserves to be reappointed. We'll see whether the hardcore Republicans in the Senate and the Republican appointees to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, whether they still have an appetite for this kind of a disgraceful reputation slurring and denialism that they've been engaging in, like Bob Spindell has been, for years now. And I hope they don't have an appetite for it anymore. I think the election, the re-election of Governor Evers and the election of Justice-elect Protasiewicz may have curbed their appetite for this kind of slander.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if the ramblings around the 2020 election, because really, that's where a lot of the criticism of Administrator Wolf is
the entirety of the
started.
Criticism.
Yeah, there were nobody was contesting the 2022 results. There was nobody contesting the re-election of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to a 6-year term. The margin in the election of re-election of Tony Evers over Tim Michaels, very little doubts there. All centers around the 2020 election. And so it will be interesting to see if the members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission will put to bed those doubts and relitigation. It's been audited. It's been reviewed by in my counts, probably one of the most reviewed elections in all of the history of our country, not just the state of Wisconsin.
Six ways to Sunday it's been reviewed. I mean, you know, this has been verified, verified, audited, recounted. I mean, there's nothing more you can do to prove that this was a legitimate election in November 2020. And the idea that came from Gableman and came from Branjan, who headed up the Assembly Committee on Elections until finally Robin Voss had enough of her, too. You know, they're just ridiculous and totally without merit. And I think even Bob Spindell probably knows that in his heart of hearts, if he's got one. And so there's no legitimate reason not to reappoint Megan Wolf. and I sure hope they do that.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if the, those doubts and the relitigating of 2020 will be put to bed with the vote today, or if this is going to be something that the commissioners will continue to deadlock. But Matt, I think it's important to point out there has been a history of officials that are capable, like Megan Wolf here in Wisconsin, leading up our elections, that have chosen a different path than staying and asking to be reappointed. Andrea Palm was the designee for the Department of Health Services here in Wisconsin throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. She was appointed with she was acclaimed for one of the best vaccine rollouts. Wisconsin was above its neighbors and national counterparts when it came to implementing the COVID-19 vaccine and getting the state to reopen amid the pandemic. And rather than sit and wait for appointment to head up the Department of Health Services, she chose to leave. She is now the number two at the Department of Health and Human Services in the Biden administration. So is it a concern of yours that if this is a continued attitude that we have for these officials that are clearly qualified, that clearly credentialed to be put through the ringer when it comes to appointments to these positions, do you fear that we're going to lose more institutional knowledge if Megan Wolf is used as another example to deny that experience in a position here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that the commissioners are going to find someone more qualified than Megan Wolf for this job. That's why they should reappoint her. And it's also why, you know, I give her props for staying on. She could have left. She could have gotten probably any job in America doing election administration for any state that had an opening in that slot. And she, maybe because she's stubborn in a good way, or maybe she felt she had a duty to make sure that Wisconsin's election laws were carried out properly and that the wishes of the Wisconsin Elections Commission were taken seriously and that she would, you know, execute those wishes. That's her job. They make the policy. She executes it. She's done an incredible job. I think someone with less of a backbone would have left, you know, a couple years ago. But I give her credit for having a stiff background, a backbone, and for doing her job so well. So we'll see this afternoon whether she gets another term from the commissioners, and then we'll see later on whether the Republicans in the Senate vote to confirm her. But she certainly deserves another term.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We're joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, working for good governance here in the state of Wisconsin.
For a few more days.
For a couple more days. So while we got him, if you've got some questions on elections, on democracy here in Wisconsin, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. We will take those questions. And Will, it's important to, we've also got some breaking news that we're going to get a chance to talk to Matt about when it comes to the state of future updates on Wisconsin elections as well. The U.S. Supreme Court earlier today rejecting a pretty far outlandish opinion of the independent state legislature theory. I appreciate that, Matt. That the legislature can do whatever it wants when it comes to elections. Not the case. The Roberts opinion today throwing out that theory and potentially leaving the groundwork for a at least challenge to the current constitutionality, the validity of the state maps here in Wisconsin. So we're going to have that conversation as well. If you've got a question, call in to Town Call, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We're going to continue the conversation when we get back.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court rules in favor of the courts in a key North Carolina case about election oversight. CBS's Major Garrett.
Basically, the Supreme Court says what we've always understood about the powers of a state legislature and a state Supreme Court still reside. And the federal government has interests, can exercise them as it's discretion, but not here.
On a newly surfaced audio tape, we hear former President Trump talking about secret documents he's showing to others at his New Jersey golf club. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
It shows that former President Trump knew he had classified documents, knew that he didn't declassify them, and knew he was holding on to them.
A Texas mom is trying to keep her kids cool in the triple-digit heat wave that won't quit.
My kids are wearing sun protection. We have, like, sun shirts and hats and stuff. Make sure we get in the shade. We take moments to cool off.
Heating up in other parts of the South today, too. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. The air quality alert for Waukesha, Milwaukee, and most of the state runs through Thursday. But the abnormally heavy impact shouldn't last long.
The thick stuff will move out, tonight, but there will still be some smoke hanging around probably for the next couple days.
Meteorologist J.J. Wood with the National Weather Service says the air quality advisory is targeted towards individuals with heart or lung disease, older adults, and children. Walking around Brady Street in Milwaukee could soon be a little safer. Jimmy Koska has more.
The Brady Street Business Improvement District has introduced four alternatives to improve the pedestrian experience on East Brady Street, which involve potentially converting four blocks into car-free areas. The options, which encompass improved intersections and dedicated pedestrian spaces, aim to enhance safety in response to a tragic hit-and-run incident.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're live. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We're joined by Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and we're talking Wisconsin Election Commission. Currently, to finish the conversation that we had a little bit before the break, something I wanted to just dive into regarding Megan Wolf. Matt, you noted how respected she is nationally. We showed the organizations that she's led, and we've kind of touched on that it's essentially the people who support democracy against the people who don't support democracy. This isn't really a right versus left. There have been a number of elected conservative officials who have said, you know, Megan Wolf was unanimously supported in 2018. She's doing an excellent job. It appears to only be a very small handful of Donald Trump supporting far-right Republican officials who are backing this. And I wanted to note a story that actually we covered on Town Call a few weeks ago. But it goes back to an AP article from February of 2022. So this was over a year ago when a bipartisan group of prominent Wisconsin business leaders voiced aggressive support for Megan Wolf. The Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy Coalition sent letters offering, quote, sincere gratitude and full support to Wolf. This is such a critical issue, said Tom Florsheim, the chairman and CEO of Milwaukee-based Waco Group and a signer of the letter. For me, I'm publicly stepping up for really the first time, maybe ever, because I see this as so critical in terms of what's happening here, threatening democracy. There was a number of Republicans and Democrats, including Austin Ramirez, the CEO of Husco, and Paul Sweeney, a partner at PS Capital Partners, who signed this letter. Other signers included Milwaukee Bucks and Pfizer Forum president Peter Fangen, and the former president and CEO of Harley-Davidson.
I forget how to pronounce Peter's last name. I was chiming in with the correction. I think I got it wrong myself. So,
but these are real leaders in the business community here in Wisconsin, and titans exactly. in the Milwaukee business community. And they were stepping out for the first time politically. A lot of business people don't like to step out politically, sticking their necks out for Megan Wolf, recognizing what a leader she has been and efficiently and very professionally running the staff over there at the Wisconsin Elections Commission as the administrator, and how well she's been doing following the instructions that the commissioners have given her, because they're the ones who set the policy. She doesn't set policy. She just executes the policy that they set. So it is quite impressive, Will, you're right, that these business people in the Milwaukee area especially, but across the state, bipartisan group, came out in support of Megan Wolf, and I'm sure they're still supporting her now and want the Wisconsin Elections Commission this afternoon to give Megan Wolf another term.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you would like to ask Matt Rothschild a question on elections and democracy, or if you just want to contribute to the conversation, 844-967-2789. Up first this Tuesday afternoon, we got Mike in Sheboygan calling in. Mike, what's on your mind today?
The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but thanks to Matt Rothschild, we at least look forward to the trip. Matt, you would take the smokiest day of the year to tell us you're leaving, but congratulations on your early retirement. It's been a blessing listening to you.
Thank you, Mike.
Always an education, because you explain things so well. I dragged my 96-year-old mom to Beaver Dam in Madison last year just so we could see you live, and we didn't regret it. She left before Crudy and Dom hit the bar, so don't worry.
That's a good thing.
I don't think you're going to be moving on. I'm hoping you're just moving forward and not going to rust, because I think you'll have more time to fight the good fight on all of the civic media airwaves. I hope that's going to be the result. And one final comment, please let Megan Wolf know, I think I speak on behalf of many of us that aren't as close to it as you are, she's amazing, and no matter what happens today, please stick with it, because I think the upwelling of support for her has not yet manifested itself. I think it's just now beginning to come out there, and no matter what happens today, I think as the story becomes more known, as well as nationally, because it would be a travesty if we did lose her, she might be surprised just how deep her support runs out here in La La Land. Speaking of that, our air quality today, quite similar to L.A. on a smog day back in the early 70s. Oof. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. I totally agree with you on the wellspring of support there is out there in Wisconsin for Megan Wolf. I know there are just tons of people who've been following her career, maybe over at the League of Women Voters. I know all the folks there are big supporters of Megan Wolf, and they've got chapters all over the state with great activists who know what great work she's been doing. And also every clerk in the 1,850 communities across Wisconsin knows what great work Megan Wolf has been doing. And so all the more reason for the Wisconsin Elections Commission today at their meeting at 3 o'clock to reappoint Megan Wolf.
Folks, that's Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you've got a question for him or would like to contribute to the conversation, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Up next, we got Eric and Tosa calling in. Eric, what's on your mind today?
Hello, hi. Hi, just wanted to say, first of all, I guess congratulations to Mr. Rothschild on your pending retirement.
Thank you.
Upcoming retirement. My father... last year had to get sick to retire, But he's living his best life, you know, so enjoy it.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And this is kind of why I want to make sure and call. You know, I'm sure you'll be back on future dates, but I wanted to ask a question. Are you pretty familiar with court issues as well as everything else in democracy?
Well, I try to follow them. You know, I'm not a lawyer, okay. But I am the grandson and son and brother of a bunch of lawyers, so
okay.
I'm fluent.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as far as, you know, with I believe it's in August, Justice Protasiewicz gets appointed.
August 1st.
How do you look, you know, how do you see the state docket, you know, looking in the next year and then going forward? Because we've seen how money has come in and it's been laid bare, how it's come into the federal courts. And so, to be honest, I would expect, or do you expect, I should say, like big money progressive groups, you know, financing cases moving up as far as the gerrymandered maps or the, you know, our abortion ban that was passed before women could vote? And if there are any other types of cases we might not be thinking about that'll surface because of a progressive leaning Supreme Court in the next few years.
Well,
and lastly, I'd just like to say thank goodness the Supreme Court, except for the three, you know, fascists, they saved the, you know, free and fair elections today. So kudos to them, I guess. Thank goodness.
Well, thanks, Eric. You know, money in our court races is a problem. It's a bipartisan problem. It's a problem on both sides, and I wish there was less money. And we got to do something about campaign finance reform, and Senator Larson down in Milwaukee is going to introduce a package soon, which he's introduced in past sessions. That
guest
would,
of the show yesterday, Matt.
Yeah, Senator I saw Chris that. Larson. Saw that. That would take some of the real problems out and make Wisconsin politics a lot cleaner and a lot more transparent. I doubt it'll pass because there are not a lot of Republicans who want to see a change in campaign finance. They may want to now, though, after all the success that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin has had in raising big money. But as to the other part of your question, Eric, yes, I think with Justice-elect Protasiewicz coming on the bench on August 1st, I think there will be a sea change up there at the high court in Wisconsin. I think we'll quickly see a gerrymandering case get up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I believe strongly that the new composition of the Wisconsin Supreme Court will throw out the old maps, and we'll get fair maps here in Wisconsin pretty quick. I also think that they will throw out the 1849 law banning abortion and follow Josh Call's lead here in saying that there's been subsequent laws passed that render that ancient and archaic law kind of moot at this point. So those are two good things. I think there may be challenges to Act 10 and some of the other Walker-era decisions that were so bad, maybe a challenge to the ban on drop boxes. So I think there'll be a lot of good things coming out of this newly constituted Wisconsin Supreme Court. That was one of the great things that happened in the last year of the election of Protasiewicz.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. Drop boxes, essentially, I think the previous ruling was that they could be legal if the legislature acted on it and authorized them. So that's the big holdup there. But I believe...
have a follow-up question for you too, Matt. Do you think the new maps will be implemented by November of 2024?
Well, I think it's possible. It depends just how fast this court case, which I imagine will be filed on the afternoon of August 1st or the morning of August 2nd, how fast that can go through either the regular court system here in Wisconsin or whether it'll jump straight to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then how fast they could rule. I think it may jump straight up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then they'd have to, you know, move quickly. But they've moved quickly before on redistricting cases. So I do hope there'll be new maps by 2024. Look, there was a panel of federal district court judges here in Wisconsin that ruled in 2015 that no one in Wisconsin should have to endure another election under the rigged maps then. We've endured a lot of elections since then under the rigged maps of 2011 and now under the even worse rigged maps of 2021, so we shouldn't have to endure anymore, certainly not in 2024.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you've got a question for Matt Rothschild, our guest this hour, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And you can also, you know, follow the show online. As Will alluded to, our guest yesterday, Senator Chris Larson. You can check out the podcast. We posted it to our social accounts on Facebook and Twitter. Check out Town Call on Facebook and Twitter. Town Call WI is the handle there. Up next, this Tuesday afternoon, we got Luann calling in from Hales Corners. Luann, what's on your mind today?
I wanted to ask Matt a question, and thank you, Matt, for all your years there at the Democracy Campaign, and I'm looking forward to where you're going next, because I agree with the previous callers that you just got to keep at it. So we all do.
Thanks, Luann.
Okay, here's my question. It was around campaign finance. I ran last time against Bob Donovan, and there were a lot of negative mailers that came out from different organizations, right? I'm guessing these are all PACs, and I just ignored them during the campaign. But when it got done, I wanted to look into that to see who are these groups, who's doing all this fear-mongering stuff. And so I would go in, and you can look up their 990 forms and find out where they're at. Sometimes you can just Google their address, and there's nothing there. You know, it's an empty building. But anyway, so I chased down one of them, and I think it's Wisconsin Jobs First or something. And it turned out that the executive director was a woman from Madison. She pays herself a pretty good sum. But there was also the president or something, and it was a guy from Brookfield. And he's on the city council there. So I chased him down. I'm like, hey, can we talk about what you did during my campaign? He acted like he didn't even know me. And then he did finally meet with me. And so, but in the process of, and I showed him the ads, he said he hadn't seen them. I said, I don't think this negative stuff is healthy. But what really concerned me was the amount of money going back and forth from these organizations. And you can look that all up on, you know, their 990 forms. So there was also a payment to a Michelle Litchens Voss for like $70,000 for fundraising. So then you could trace this particular organization that ran all these negative ads against you right back to Robin Voss, because that's his wife. So when you talk about campaign finance reform, does it have anything to do with the way this money is flowing in like that and going out?
Yeah, Luann. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for running against Bob Donovan, too, and for running a high-class campaign. But you're right about this money. It's disgusting that they can hide where the money is coming from, at least until the election's over. And it's really kind of sleazy when you track it back to someone like Michelle Litchens Voss, and you can tell that money is coming from, you know, the leaders of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And so what we need to do is have much more transparency. We need to have much tighter limits on how much money can be spent by the outside groups. We need disclosure of their donors, and we got to just level the playing field here.
Yeah, because it's not, and I don't think we should give up that there's nothing we can do.
Oh, no, never give up.
I still intend to pursue this. There were other groups, and then I looked into it a little bit when Janet Protasiewicz ran. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same. They rename the groups, but, we can track this. The question is then, what do we do about it? So is Chris Larson introducing bills that will help this at all?
Yeah, that's... Yeah,
we'll cover that question, Luann, right after the break. We're joined by Matt Rothschild and with the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. If you have a call for Matt, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
If you're searching for top-notch electrical service for your commercial or industrial property, connect with Current Electric in Wauwatosa. Current Electric offers a wide array of electrical services to clients in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas. Celebrating 40 years of energizing and illuminating lives in southeastern Wisconsin, their dedicated team of superheroes can help with everything from parking lot lighting upgrades to office and business LED conversions, EV chargers to service upgrades. Call 262-295-2815 or log on to callcurrent.com.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Jazz Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a high of 79. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows dip down to about 55. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 81. 87 Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. 84 Friday. Chance for storms continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today, we're talking with Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And I want to go right back to the phone lines. Luann, I rudely cut you off of the excellent question you were asking. Unfortunately, we had the commercial break. So please, if you would, rephrase your question for Matt.
If the legislation that Chris Larson is introducing can regulate where this money is coming from, is it on the federal level that we really have to approach this kind of PAC money in the, you know, the committees that they're forming? What level of government do we need to get involved in this to stop it? And I want to also clarify, the guy that I talked to on the city council in Brookfield, his name was Bob Redden, because there's a lot of people on that. I didn't want you thinking which one might be the one that was, you know, was president, or he was executive director of this. I think it was Jobs First Wisconsin, something like that. But anyway, so what level of, you know, where do we start with this?
Yeah, Luann, great question. And I think the place to start is, there are two places to start. One is in Wisconsin. We need to change our Wisconsin campaign finance law. We need to throw out the rewrite, the drastic and horrible rewrite that the Republicans did in 2015, which doubled the amount of money that rich people could give, allowed corporations for the first time in 100 years to give to the political parties, and tore down the ceiling on what individuals could give to the political parties, and then let the political parties then shovel that money back to the candidates, which made a joke of any limit there is on individual donations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need to back the package that Senator Larson is going to submit shortly in the Capitol in the next few weeks. But nationally, the fundamental solution is to amend the U.S. Constitution and to proclaim once and for all that, you know what, corporations actually aren't persons and money actually isn't speech. And we've got to overturn about 140 years of bad U.S. Supreme Court decisions on those two false equations so that we as citizens of this country can have an equal playing field in elections. We're supposed to have one person, one vote. We do on election day, but as far as having an equal say as to who gets elected, what laws are passed, and what policies are pursued, I'm sure every single person listening to this program, Luann, understands that we don't, that the super rich and the corporations have a much bigger say than you and I and all the other listeners have. And that's just wrong in a democracy.
That's Matt Rothschild.
Executive. Well, I do want to say,
go ahead, Luann.
In the meantime, calling up these people and having a conversation with them is a step. Something.
Yeah, and I applaud you for doing that, too.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, William and Luke. Nice to talk with you all.
We appreciate the phone call, Luann. Folks, you can be like Luann. Give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789, here on Town Call. We are joined this hour by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, executive director for a few more days, Matt. And one of the aspects that's going to be taken up this week, besides the Wisconsin Elections Commission vote today, is, it sounds like, according to reporting over at the Associated Press, Scott Bauer, the Assembly is going to take up the full budget tomorrow. The State Senate expecting to take up the full budget on Thursday. And as of right now, doesn't seem like there's going to be a whole lot of changes. Everybody's talking the what the Joint Finance Committee put forth is going to be what the full Assembly and full Senate are going to vote on. Question for you, and when it comes to representative democracy and how a budget the size, roughly right around $100 billion, I believe, the state's budget over the next 2 years, how is it that only 16 members of the state legislature get the very powerful responsibility of determining what goes in or what doesn't go in to our state's two-year budget?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy way to do a budget with a powerful Joint Finance Committee, basically telling everybody else what's going to be in it. But let's not be naive about it either. The Republicans anyway on the Joint Finance Committee that have the majority are doing what the leaders, the Republicans in the legislature, that's Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, want them to do. And so, giving huge tax breaks to the rich, that's bread and butter Republican Party goal. And so they're giving, anyone who's making over $300,000 about a $2,150 tax break, whereas people who are making, $30,000 are getting $15. Don't spend it all in one place. So that's what they're doing here. And that's one of the reasons Governor Evers said he was going to veto the budget if they had all these tax breaks for the rich. They do. I hope Governor Evers will veto that budget. And also because of the slashing of funding for the University of Wisconsin system because of Voss's hatred of diversity, equity, and inclusion. They talk about trying to attract young people to Wisconsin, get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and start being racist out loud all the time like Voss is with his campaign against this. That's no way to attract young people here. So I'm waiting to see what the governor does.
The Megan Wolf story too, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a young, talented professional in the state right here, right now, and they're trying to chase her out as a scapegoat. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, how do we attract young talent and how do we get people to stay in the state of Wisconsin? And then out of the other side of your mouth, you're quite literally trying to chase an incredibly talented individual out of their position.
Yeah, with total nonsense and election denialism and irrationalism and sexism, and that's no way to get young people to say either to come to Wisconsin or for the folks who are here and go to the UW or any of the other colleges and universities in the state to stay around. I mean, who wants to stay around if you're a decent person with a liberal perspective? And you see how good people like Megan Wolf are treated. Or if you see this campaign against diversity that Robin Voss is leading up, he's a kind of a junior DeSantis right now. I mean, who wants to be here for that?
Yeah. And one of the other things Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has done a terrific job of tracking is, as you've alluded to, the money in politics. One of those top spending issues here in the state of Wisconsin is when it comes to private schools and the expansion of private voucher programs here in the state of Wisconsin. That not in the budget talks. So already a part of the shared revenue compromise that was signed into law earlier this month by Governor Evers.
And a terrible compromise, by the way.
That deal struck between Evers and legislative Republicans. What can you tell us? We only got about 90 seconds left of today's show. The updates about what that voucher expansion is going to mean for the state.
Well, it's a terrible drain on public schools, and it's a reward to three of the most right-wing groups in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the big business lobby, which has spent $37 million since 2010 to elect Republicans, Americans for Prosperity, the Koch-funded group, which has spent $21 million, and the American Federation of Children, Betsy DeVos's group, $68 million from three groups alone. That's why the voucher school spending is going up, because the people, the groups that fund the Republicans want it to happen.
Matt Rothschild.
And remember, it's not groups. It's literally, two or three. Well, it is groups. But at the top of these groups, it's the same two or three people that are funding a lot of these expenditures throughout the state.
Yeah, the Kochs, DeVos, you name them.
Yeah. Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Really appreciate you joining us here, taking some time out of your final week in the role.
Last week, baby.
Thank you so much, folks. You've been listening to Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Town Call at 12:15. Talk to you then.
Take it easy, party people.
The If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.